This is Impact Wrestling's Hakeem Zayn, and you are listening to the Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast Network. My mother, she called me son because I shine like one.
Hello and welcome to the Pro Wrestling Personified Podcast. I'm your host, Lewis Carlin, and of course we're part of the Tapped Out Wrestling Podcast Network. And today we have a really, really special guest. Very excited. I've been wanting to talk to this guy for a very long time. Winner of Global Forged, current member of the Impact Wrestling roster. Please help me welcome the Mad Dragon, Hakeem Zayn. Hakeem, welcome to the show, man.
What's up? Thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
Hey man, hey. So how the holidays treating you so far?
Fantastic! I got to for Christmas. I got to relax at home, eat lots of food, and do absolutely nothing. So I was happy about that. That's all I wanted to do.
Yeah, me too. I've eaten too much food, and it's I feel like I'm gonna burst out of my pants, man. It's just so much food. It's just ridiculous. I always eat too much food on Christmas, and then I always make that New Year's resolution. I'm going to start working out, and of course I never do. But hey, well, what can I do? What can you do? So anyway, let's just jump right into Impact Wrestling if you don't mind. So I know you were the winner of Global Forged. What was it like competing against? I believe I was reading it was about 40 or so other wrestlers, and how did it feel coming out the winner of that competition?
To be honest, it was insane. I didn't go into it thinking anything of that nature. I just went into it thinking, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in there and give my best, and I'm going to see what happens. I had already wrestled for Impact in April, and that was something that I would hope would lead to somewhere, and it just didn't end up doing anything with it, which was still cool. And then originally it was supposed to be for Impact / Pro Wrestling NOAH deal, and somebody else had got the Pro Wrestling NOAH deal, and I didn't hear anything back about the Impact. And then we got a call from Scott DeMore. He's like, hey, we're doing this reality show called Global Forged. I want you to be a part of it. And then there it was. I would literally leave work. I'd travel out to Windsor, train all night. And next thing you know, I was the winner. And the cool thing to me is that they had two guys picked, but I was everybody's number one. And I was just like, man, that's awesome. It feels good to know that your hard work, it gets seen and it gets appreciated, and then it finally pays off.
Sure. Now, you mentioned your appearance for Impact Wrestling back in April, and I was going to ask you about that because I know your team with Idris Abraham, and you took on Laredo Kid and Garza Jr., and I remember that match, and I remember seeing you and Idris Abraham, and I thought you guys were a great tag team. You probably don't remember. I actually tweeted that you two were going to be stars, and you actually retweeted that, I don't know if you remember that or not, but I was really impressed back in April, and I thought we were going to see a lot more of you, but I'm sorry, you said, was that like a tryout match and it just didn't work out? And how did that all come about, that initial appearance for Impact Wrestling?
It was, for me, it's funny because I always have a door open, and then as soon as that door opens, there's another one in front of me. I've been wrestling for almost 10 years now, and there was a point in time where I was doing mixed martial arts and I was doing pro wrestling at the same time. And I really felt like, I think it was like year five, I can't remember where it was. And I was like, man, I really don't know anybody in professional wrestling. I don't have any real connections. I don't know. And at the time, I didn't know how I'd go about getting any of that. So I said, okay, cool, here's this Ring of Honor camp coming up. I'm going to see how that is. And if that doesn't work out, well, I will stick to mixed martial arts. I'll just wrestle here and there on the side. So I went to this Ring of Honor camp, and I remember everyone knew each other there. And there's a couple other people that didn't know each other, but I didn't know anybody. I knew Michael Elgin just from because he was wrestling at XICW at the time in Detroit. And I think that was it. I think that was the only guy I recognized there, but I didn't know him. And so I did well during the camp, and I remember he pulled me aside and he said, hey, make sure you do good in your practice match because they're watching you right now. And I was like, oh, man. And I remember when I cut my promo in front of Kevin Kelly, I always cut promos. That's my bread and butter. He said, man, that was a really good promo. I can't wait to see what you do in the ring. And he went outside in the hallway and he told everybody about, hey, this is the type of promo. This is what he said. It's different. It's not pro wrestling. It's a really good promo. So anyways, I did well. I pulled Delirious aside, asked him what I needed to, work on. And he told me, so I did another camp and I killed it. And then I got booked for Ring of Honor. And then I started getting booked for Ring of Honor here and there. And then nothing ever happened. You know what I mean? It just, nothing ever came about. I did their Future of Honor stuff. My name got thrown in for the Top Prospect Tournament a couple times. And it just wasn't in the cards, Nothing against them because I love those guys. They're awesome. And, but nothing happened. And then I started wrestling in Detroit. I was always trying to work for Scott DeMore's promotion out in Windsor, BCW, Border City Wrestling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it just never happened. And then Scott came and watched. He was trying to get me booked on a couple shows, and it was a couple last-minute things, so nothing ever happened. And then finally he came and watched myself versus Jake something back in October, and it was October, it was years ago, and he's like, hey, you guys did match was really good. Next thing I know, I get a text from him. He's like, hey, I got this show and so-and-so. I'd like you to come to it. So I started doing the show, and then we started going up to the school and training, and Scott saw the potential, I guess, and a few of us, and said, I'm going back to Impact. I would like you guys to come down. I'll have some work for you. So, boom, there it was. It ended up being, just going up to Can-Am and training and learning and showing that we had some potential there for the right person to see it. And then next thing you know, I'm teaming with Idris on one of the actual Impact shows, and then we did the No Surrender pay-per-view, which was pretty sweet. And then it just... it didn't pan out. They didn't have anything for anybody that wasn't signed at the time. And then the Global Force thing happened, and here we are.
Yeah, no, I was a little disappointed back in April because I thought you guys were a great tag team, and it was a great match against Laredo Kid and Garza Jr. And I thought we had a brand new tag team that we're going to see a lot more of in Impact Wrestling. So I was a little disappointed that nothing else developed there. But on the flip side, I'm thrilled that you won Global Forge because you had the two matches. I think you had three matches, but two of them have been televised already. Taji Ishimori and Eddie Edwards on Explosion, and they were terrific matches. What was your experience like being in the ring with Ishimori and Eddie Edwards?
It's funny because it's one of those things when I was a fan, these were guys that I watched. I used to try to find any type of pro wrestling though I could back in the day, like on YouTube, and I would watch Ishimori and Kenta, Hideo Itami, tag up.
Sure.
I was like, man, these guys are good. And I was always a huge Kenta fan, and then when I saw him tag with Ishimori was, he was good. They both had their different style. Kenta was a striker. Ishimori was more of a speed style and kind of a high flyer. So when I found out I got to be in the ring with him, it was an honor for me. I couldn't wait to get in the ring with him. I couldn't wait to just wrestle someone so experienced, so worldly, and be able to test my mettle. And it was the same thing with Eddie Edwards. And Eddie Edwards, he's such a, he has a tough style. His chops are ridiculous. If you watch that match, my chest is just like, beat red, but I was happy because I ate every single one of them, and to learn from those guys, and that's what I always said I needed. I need to be in the ring with guys that are on that next level. I was going from town to town and state to state and being in the ring with guys that are just as good as me, and that's always good, but to be even better, you have to be in the ring with guys that are better than you. And I got a chance to do that at Glory Pro with Shane Strickland, and then with Ishimori, and then with Eddie Edwards. And it's such a huge, the little things stand out. And that's when you start to put things together again. So to me, being in the ring with those guys, huge honor. It was awesome. It's something I needed to help me get better.
Well, yeah, well, there were tremendous matches, man. Especially with, I want to ask you about Eddie Edwards, like, how how long did it take until the pain subsided and those chested? It must have been painful for quite some time. Your chest was like just beat red.
Oh, I'm sorry. It broke up a little bit. I couldn't hear what you said. It like started to cut out.
No, it's okay. Yeah, I was just wondering. I know in the match with Eddie Edwards, your chest was beat red. I was just asking, how long did it take until the your chest? You would have been hurting for quite some time after that match.
Oh man, the first chop hit me, and I was like, "Well, I watched his matches, and I knew what I was in for." And that first chop hit you, and you're like, "Oh well, here we go." And I'm used to getting chopped in matches, some more than others, and this was one of those matches where you're just like, ooh, you take that shower, and that hot water hits you, and you're like, oh, okay, yep. It just reminds you, like, oh, yeah, you were in a pretty good war the other night and got, you know, and your chest was like hamburger, so yeah, it goes away, and you get used to it after a while, but there's little things, you know, you go to spray cologne on or something like that, and it just hits those scars or hits those open wounds, and you're just like, "Woo, boy, yeah, okay." You know what I did the other night?
Sure, man. So you took on Ishimori and Eddie Edwards. You hope they end the ring with. I know in Ring of Honor, you had a match with Moose. Would you like to get in? And I think Boston match. Would you like to get in the ring with Moose again, try to get it win back, or are there any other wrestlers, maybe like Trevor Lee or someone that you'd like to get in the ring with in 2018?
Yeah, there is actually Johnny Impact. Johnny Impact pushed me out of my spotlight while I was cutting my first promo, and that's somebody. It's funny because we had a show in Bellevue, Michigan, and I remember everyone cleared, you know, they go up there and clear the ring, and I went in there last, and I made sure I went in there last just so I could find him and just started talking mess to him. Of course, he hit me with the right hand, but I would love to get in the ring, Johnny Impact. I just think his style is so unique. And just to kind of, for me, it's a small chapter, a very small footnote in this chapter of professional wrestling for me, but he knows it's there, and I know it's there, so sooner or later I would like to get in the ring with him. And just, you know, and besides that, just really get in the ring with anybody on the Impact roster to honestly show the world, like, okay, because, you know, I'm a virtual unknown right now. The wrestling world, some people know who I am, some people don't. Some people dig my style, some people don't. That's fine. But it's my style, and I'm going to do it better than anybody else will do it. You know, I'm not going to be doing all these sweet high-flying moves off the top rope. I'm going to catch the guy in an armbar when he jumps off the top rope. That's me. And I just want to be in the ring and show the world that, yeah, they're talking about Patron, they're talking about Desmond right now, they're talking about Johnny Impact right now, but tomorrow they're going to be talking about Hakeem Zayn. And, you know, I talked a big game, but I have the in-ring ability and life skills to back them all up.
Yeah, so you think in 2018 we'll be saying Hakeem Zayn, X Division champion?
If that opportunity arises, man, oh yeah, you better believe
even
it.
World
I'm
champion.
Going for it all. Any belt that comes my way, I want to take it and run with it. That's what we're going to do.
Johnny Impact, show you the way. So yeah, I reminded me. Way, and I thought I wanted to hear the promo from Hakeem Zayn, but I would love this. That would be a great match, you and Johnny Impact. So let's go back to the beginning. How did you first get interested in becoming a professional wrestler?
I was always into pro wrestling as a kid. I remember one of my first memories of professional wrestling, and I'm an 80s baby, so one of my first memories of professional wrestling was watching a highlight video of the Road Warriors versus the Russians in the Russian Chain Match. And it was on Saturday night. And at the time, you know, Arnold was huge. Bruce Lee was still huge. Even though he had passed, he was still huge for, like, you know, kids back then. And then Hulk Hogan was huge. So you're looking at, in professional wrestling, these guys at the time, they are real life superheroes pretty much out there battling in the ring. And, you know, WWF at the time had all of their huge characters, and then NWA, which was ended up turning being WCW, everything was very, there were two different sides of a coin. NWA, I felt like Dusty Rhodes was my neighbor, and he was getting in a bar fight with the rich guys down the road, like the Four Horsemen. Then you had Hogan and Savage, who were just larger than life, but they were all larger than life in their own way. And it just hooked me. And what I would do, I had this yellow Superman shirt, and my mother cut the back of it like to resemble Hulk Hogan. So I had this tape recorder, and I would sit there and play the tape recorder, and I had this big bear that I would wrestle. And I would wrestle this bear, and I would do all the commentary, and then afterwards I would cut a promo like Hulk Hogan, or I'd cut a promo like Ric Flair, or whatever I would do, and then I would just record it. And I never got out of wrestling. Even as a kid, like, there were times when wrestling wasn't cool, and then it made its resurgence again with, like, NWO and Steve Austin and Rock, stuff like that. Then it was cool again. I never got out of it. And so I've always been in love with professional wrestling, and then when the opportunity actually arrived, where I could go get trained, and I just kept doing it and kept doing it, and I want to get better, and I saw the improvement. So obviously, when you start to see improvement on something, you keep it going. And I just, you know, I was living my dream, and now that I'm under Impact, like, man, that's huge. That's insane. I don't know, man. I can't even put it into words how crazy it is.
Family support your decision, or did they think you were? Because I know I've spoken to a lot of other wrestlers, and sometimes their family isn't so supportive. But did your family support your decision to become a professional wrestler, or did you have to prove to them that, you know, that this is what I'm going to do and I'm going to be good at it?
No, by the time I was doing professional wrestling, my mother had already passed, and I didn't really talk to my dad at all. So no one could really say anything to me about it. You know, I'm not like close to my like extended family that well. Close to them, but not to the point where they're, what I do is going to impact anyone's decisions or anything of like of that nature. Same thing with my sister. I'm close to my sister, but they're not going to tell me anything. The main thing is just my wife. You know, it's hard on her being gone all the time. And, you know, I get to go places and she can't go to these places. But it's a hustle. You know, you have to hustle until you actually make it, and now the things are starting to turn around a little bit, and things are going to get a little bit better, you know, with being under Impact and getting the name out there, and hopefully other promotions will see, okay, yeah, this guy's good. I see why they picked him up, and let's bring him onto our show. And then the money starts to get a little bit better, and the notoriety and the fame and stuff like that. But as far as, I've always just kind of done, I've always been into martial arts. I've always been into lifting weights, the MMA, stuff like that. Sure, people are like, ah, man, I really wish you wouldn't do that type of stuff because it's rough on your body, but it's never been an issue. I just kind of do my own thing, and people are there to watch it. They don't support it, and they don't really support it. It's just me, myself, and I just really kind of hustle and make this work.
All right, cool, man. I was doing some research, and I'm just going to ask, I read that you were trained by Xavier Justice. Is that correct?
Yep. Started out with Xavier Justice.
Okay.
And I trained 6 months in a barn, and we did it in the wintertime, too. Boy, that was rough. And then afterwards, I would go to the House of Truth, you know, under Truth Martini, and I would wrestle, and he would pick me apart and help me out. And then, as of, this year, I started going up to the dojo, K&M Dojo, on Border City. But I started out with Xavier Justice and just tried to go wherever I could and to get mentored and taught and coached just to improve my game.
Was there a reason why you initially chose Xavier Justice for training? Or did you?
He was the closest.
Okay.
At the time, I would always consider going out to Lima back when I was younger, when I was in high school, and that was Al Snow's gym, and I just couldn't afford it at the time. And then I wanted to go to the House of Truth, but I was working 40 to 50 hours a week, and at the time, by the time I would have got out of work and drove out there, I wouldn't even have been able to make a full class, and I couldn't afford that either. Xavier Justice was closer to me, it was about an hour away, and I could do it on my day off, and I could afford it. And I had asked around, so I knew a couple guys that were, like, I knew Monty Brown, you know, because we're both Saginaw guys, so I knew Monty. So when I'd see him in town, I'd take his brain and ask him. He's like, yeah, you know, he's a good guy to go to, knows his basics, decent place to start off with. I would, you know, start there and then obviously extend your training as you go along, which I did. And so it just worked out, and it was fun, it was hard, and I'll always be forever grateful for that training right there. And it was tough, man. Like I said, training out in the wintertime in the barn was, oof, man, that was rough. But it got me started, and I'm super happy that I made that decision to do it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how did you find the initial training? Like after you took your first bump or the first time you ran the ropes, did you take to it right away, or did you think, oh my God, this is going to be harder than I thought? So how did you take to the initial training?
I knew going into it that it was going to be hard because I had always looked up videos about the WCW power plant, and so I would watch them do their thing. Hitting the ropes wasn't never a big deal to me. For some reason, I didn't get messed up like a lot of other people did. The bumps, learning to tuck your chin, and man, for the first month I had headaches all the time and I hated it. But after a while everything just fell into place and I loved it so much and wanted it so bad, it didn't matter. It didn't matter how tough it was, I was gonna complete it.
So how was your first year? I mean, after the training was over and you were ready to, you know, take your first match, what was the first year like? Because I was doing some research. It looked like you wrestled for the NWA, Absolute Entertainment Wrestling. So what was the first year like? Get your name out there, and how long did it take for you to get comfortable being in the ring?
I think I was always comfortable being in the ring. It was, you know, like anything, it's a learning experience. To this day, it's still a learning experience. I was always comfortable being in the ring. It's just something about going out there and entertaining people and being larger than life. It was funny. My tights were garbage. They were blue running tights with, like, screen-printed stuff on the side, like this dragon I had on them, and I was wearing MMA kick pads. And really, it was showing up to shows, never guaranteed getting on, setting up the ring, hoping somebody would see something and give you a shot to put you on, or hoping you knew somebody there and they would put in a word for you. And it was just really making the shows and trying to make a name for yourself. And then when you finally do get the opportunity to be in the ring, you take advantage of it and you show them why they need to bring you back. And it's almost the same today in a sense, because you're still trying to go to shows that people, they don't know you, and like bigger and better shows, you know, and they may know of you, and you're trying to hustle and show that, hey, I drove all the way down here, I know so-and-so put in the word, and I'm hoping I can get on this show. It was rougher then because you're first starting out, but it was much more of a hustle than it is now, but it, you know, you're still going to grind to get where you need to be.
So I think you may have answered the next question. I just but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to ask it anyway. What is it about pro wrestling that you like the best? Is it being in the ring? Is it the athleticism? Is it interacting with the fans? What is it about professional wrestling that you like the most?
You know what I mean? It's not like a cheesy answer, but it is the sport entertainment aspect of it. It's the fact that you get to be a stuntman and an actor all in one. As soon as that music hits, man, you walk out there and all eyes are on you. And if you don't believe who you are, they're not going to believe who you are. But as soon as you do something and you capture that crowd and you hit that first sweet move or whatever it is you do, you hit that pose, and they either try to eat you alive because they can't stand you, or they just love what you're about, man, it's just no better feeling. It's funny when you try to explain professional wrestling to people that don't watch professional wrestling. They're like, well, you're out there with some weird name and you're in tights and you're wrestling other dudes, and well, like, I don't get it, you know? It's like, yeah, you don't get it. There's nothing like it. And it's not until you go to an actual good live show, whether it's Impact, WWE, or Ring of Honor, or just a really good indie, once you go and you feel the energy from the crowd and you see the wrestlers out there in the ring doing what they do best, then you finally start to realize and it starts to click. It's there's nothing like it on earth. There's nothing like being a professional wrestler. And you can get hype when you go into the cage. You can get hype when you go on a basketball court. Man, but just being able to control the crowd with one word, one movement, and just the emotion and the story that you tell, there's nothing like it. I just love it. I love that. I love being in the ring. I love being a character and over-the-top personality. I just love that, man.
Yeah, no, I've been a wrestling fan for a very, very long time, and I gotta say, professional wrestling is the greatest form of entertainment, in my opinion, in the entire world. So I love everything about it. Thankfully, my grandfather got me into it at a very, very young age, and just you guys are just absolutely awesome, best entertainers in the world, hands down, and I'm just. I'll be a fan until I die. I'd be a fan until I die. You guys are, anyone that steps into the square circle, in my opinion, is absolutely awesome. So I absolutely love it. And I just want to say thank you, man. Thank you for doing what you do, man. I appreciate every single professional wrestler, man.
And I appreciate that, like the fans that come out there. And it's funny because I relate it to Star Wars a lot because I'm a huge Star Wars fan. So there's like all this Star Wars craziness going on right now. But it's not a bad thing, and it is a bad thing, but people get so involved with the product, or they get so passionate with what they love, and people love professional wrestling. So like when The Undertaker lost, you know what I mean, at WrestleMania, people were like, God, I hate this, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You hate it, but you hate it because you absolutely love it, and it gutted you in a sense because you love this so much, and that's just, it's such a weird feeling, you know what I mean? And so we can have the best fans in the world, and we can have the worst fans in the world, and it goes all into one. It's because we're all so passionate about what we do. You're passionate about what we do in the ring. We're passionate about what we do in the ring. And it's, I don't know, man, like you said, to me, I agree with you there, it's the greatest form of entertainment, and it's so underrated, and it's so mistreated, and I don't know, man, we don't get enough credit, in my opinion. Just my opinion.
Well, you get a ton of credit from me. So, like I said, man, you guys are awesome. I appreciate everything you guys do, man. Actually, you mentioned The Undertaker. You mentioned The Undertaker, and there was a lot of negativity when he lost. Since you brought up negativity, I just wanted to ask you, there are a lot of fans, you'll see on Twitter that are negative towards Impact Wrestling. Anytime they get a chance to take a shot at Impact Wrestling, they will. If a wrestler leaves, you know, Impact Wrestling is going to fold. What do you say to those people that are, I know what I would say to them, but I'm just curious, what would you say to those people that are so negative towards Impact Wrestling?
I think just having the internet, people want to lash out against somebody, and people like to kick people when they're down. And Impact's had its ups and downs. It's had its good decisions. It's had its bad decisions. The fact is, the company is trying to grow, and it is trying to correct mistakes, and it is trying to get back in the race. So, you know, stop beating up. Like, look at the people who they've brought in. They've brought in some of the best indie guys that some people have never even heard of. OVW. I have known the Chris Bros for a while, and they've been killing it for a while. So to see those guys finally get some love, that's fantastic. You got Conan and Homicide kind of passing the reins down of LAX to the new form of LAX, which that tag feud has been amazing. They're bringing guys like Trevor Lee, Desmond Xavier. They're trying, everyone's like, oh, they're bringing these old WWE. No, man, it's wrestling. It's wrestling, and guess what? The fact that people have another place to go, there's not just one place. I want it to be competitive. We want it. You know, why wouldn't you want it to be competitive? Why would you not want Impact to succeed? Sure, everyone makes dumb decisions. Every business makes dumb decisions. WWE does a bunch of stuff that everyone complains about all the time. But it's a business on top of being wrestling, and businesses are going to falter. Impact right now is trying to, you know, get it together and do something different and have new faces. There's so many guys in the indies that people have never heard of that are amazing, absolutely amazing. So when it's funny when they bring in these new faces and people don't hear of them. Like, even myself, they're like, oh, this guy's dumb. Why'd they bring him in? Blah, 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 blah. As if we're just a bunch of schmucks off the street that laced our boots for the first time ever and they brought us in. No, a lot of these guys have been hustling for years and that are good at their craft, and there's a reason why they're there. Just, you know, just people just need to relax and give stuff like that a chance. And it's the same thing as a business, you know, and Impact will have to, if people relax and give them a chance, it's up to them to give that good business and make the right decisions, which they're obviously trying to do now. I just think it's people like they have a dog to kick, and unfortunately that's Impact at the moment. But look how many times WWE does something and the internet is just roasts them, you know, right away. It's just some people are never happy, and then it also goes back to people being very passionate about what they want. So it's like, yeah, I want to see you succeed, and I get mad at you when you make dumb decisions. It's like, you know, your dad loves you to death, but guess what? When you're making knucklehead decisions, he's going to get on you about it. And it's almost like that, too. Some people like, I want to see these people succeed, but they're doing dumb decisions, so I'm going to get on them. But some of it's just unmitigated hate. It's not needed, and it's just people just being negative just to be negative and just to be those people. That's not the type of stuff wrestling needs at all. You know what I mean? You should be building stuff up, not tearing it down.
Absolutely, man. That was an absolutely phenomenal answer. And I thank you for that answer, because that's exactly how I feel. Anytime somebody leaves Impact Wrestling, the internet or Twitter or all the negativity comes out. But when they bring people in like you and, like I said, Desmond Xavier, the Chris brothers, nobody really says anything. And I know Tony Cage will be debuting in 2018 as well. So they're bringing a lot of new talent in. While talent may be leaving, a lot of new talent is coming in. So I personally, I'm an Impact Wrestling fan. I've been a fan for a long time. And 2018 is going to be huge for you guys, especially with all the new faces coming in. So thanks for that answer, man.
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, especially I think you're going to be you're welcome, man. It's my pleasure saying that, man. I feel you're going to be leading the charge, because you're tremendously talented, man. I in preparation for this, I've been, you know, going back and watching your matches again. And I want to ask you, you know, I watched you against you had mentioned Shane Strickland, tremendous match. So watching you against Jake Something, fantastic.
That's my
match.
My man right there.
Yeah, no, that's super, super talented, man. Samson Walker as well, another great match in Ring of Honor. Do you have a favorite opponent? I think I was listening to another podcast some time ago, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think you mentioned that Jake Something was your favorite opponent, but I'm not sure. So I'm gonna ask you, who's out of everyone that you've wrestled, who would you say is your favorite opponent?
It is. It's Jake Something. That okay. Dude is that's my dude from day one, and I really hope Impact brings him on, because that guy just has it. Doesn't matter what promotion he goes to, doesn't matter what he says, it doesn't matter what he does, people like him. He looks like a professional wrestler. He wrestles like a professional wrestler. He eats, sleeps, breathes professional wrestling. And when him and I get in the ring, it just works. I know exactly what he's going to do. He knows exactly what I'm going to do. And it's such a weird contrast, because it's big man, little man, but no matter what we do in that ring, we make it work. And we have wrestled each other everywhere. We got a chance to wrestle each other at Ring of Honor, which is one of our biggest things. And I'm hoping we get a chance to work with each other at Impact. I really hope that's a thing. And, I mean, the guy, just look at his Twitter. All you got to do is pay attention to his Twitter. Look at how many people tweet him, how many fans tweet him from every different single promotion that he wrestles for. The dude is money. So it's only a matter of time for, you know, these companies to see that this guy is money. Bring him in. He has that look. He looks like a freaking caveman, wrestles like a monster. Bring him in. But yeah, he's my favorite opponent. And there's other guys that I've stepped in the ring with that I absolutely love working with. But Jake Something, hands down, is my good friends, better rivals. We'll just put it to you that way.
Oh yeah, no, he absolutely tremendous, Jake's Something. I, big fan. Watched him against Tyson Dukes. Tremendous match. But Jake Something definitely also, since we're talking about wrestlers that, you would like to see coming in, I know you mentioned Jake Something. I just wanted to ask your opinion on Brent Banks, another one of my favorites. Do you think he might be ready for Impact Wrestling? I don't want to get off topic. I know this is, the Hakeem Zayn interview, but I just wanted to, if you don't mind, just ask your opinion about Brent Banks.
I think Brent's awesome. I think he's so smooth in the ring. I have something cooking up with him at Superkick up in Toronto right now. I can't wait till we hit that off. I think in February it's going to be him and I one-on-one. I hope that's the case. Brent is so talented, naturally gifted. The guy looks like he's chiseled, you know, from like stone or something like that. He's in great shape. He's super athletic, a genuinely great dude. I hope, like, he had a great match. He put in work against Eli, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, an explosion match.
And he goes out there. I know he was nervous. We were talking before he went out there. And he goes out there and he puts in work against Eli Drake, world champ, you know what I mean, at the time. And that's awesome. That's so awesome to see that. And he was fine, you know. And I think Brent's more than ready. There's so many guys right now on the indie scene who are ready for TV, in my opinion. And, you know, I'm not a big executive. I'm not a guy that has, like, 20 years experience. But as far as, you know, some of the guys I do see on TV and some of the guys I see on the indies, some of these guys are blowing up and their talent is unreal. And I hope they get their just desserts, you know what I mean? I honestly hope that they get that. I'm happy. Going back to how you were saying, like, going back to the Impact thing where people being negative, my God, man, I'm getting flown out to Florida. I get catering. I get to be on national TV. Why would I ever? What's wrong with that? I am so happy. Like, the hustle is starting to pay off. Like, I don't understand why people try to dog that. Like, that's like some of the best stuff I've ever done. That's fantastic. That's what I want to do. That's why I've been wrestling and driving. You know, you drive 20 hours to a show and lose money just to get that notoriety, and just it's paying off for stuff like this. I don't understand why people get, you know, they're so negative about it. To me, it's fantastic. Same thing, and I'm hoping guys that are great on the indies will get to experience that as well. I hope that their hustle pays off too. Not at my expense, mind you, but I hope it does pay off.
Okay. All right, man. No, that's awesome answer there. Like, you know, I can't say it enough. I love Impact Wrestling. I love the talent that they have. Yes, you know, there's rumors going around, people are leaving, but a lot of talent coming in, as I mentioned. And I'll say it again, man, you're leading the charge there, man. You're so talented and you deserve to be there 100%, man. Absolutely.
I appreciate it. Thank you, man.
You got it, man. Now, I want to ask you about promos. You had mentioned when you were in Ring of Honor, you cut a few killer promos, which helped get you booked in a couple of matches. How do you prepare for promos? Do you sit down, do you write promos, or do they come to you naturally? How do you work up a good promo?
I literally walk around my house or drive in my car and cut a promo every single day. I have bullet points for every single promo. I look in the mirror, I cut a promo. Before I called you, I was cutting a promo. Okay. And I literally will walk around this house and I will just talk. And I will sit here and say, you know, I'm a Global Forge winner. And, you know, think of what they would ask me. Think of things that, how do you feel about being at Impact? Or, oh, you're wrestling Tyson Dukes today. Give us your thoughts. And, or you're wrestling, oh, here's Johnny Impact. You're finally going to get your revenge on him and get a shot. Or just anything. And I put that in my head. And I take out wrestler A and put in wrestler B and how I would do that situation. And then I say certain things, and then I always end with my catchphrase. But I talk. And I think, and then again, this is just my opinion, but I honestly feel that the art of the promo is lost right now in today's professional wrestling. I love, don't get me wrong, I love the athletic ability that people portray nowadays in professional wrestling. I absolutely love it. But I like when Eli Drake goes out there and he cuts his promo. To me, that's one of my favorite parts of watching Impact, is someone like that cutting their promo. I want more of that, because to me that helps me stand out and shows that, yeah, I can wrestle in the ring, but guess what? I can also entertain people on the microphone, and I can also sell tickets that way. I love the promo, and I love guys like Dusty Rhodes, Dede, I loved Ric Flair, The Rock, Steve Austin, Macho Man, Arn Anderson. These guys, just watching them cut promos, and man, you believed every word they said, even if it was dead serious like Arn Anderson or Jake the Snake, or over the top like Macho Man and The Rock. You believed every word they said, and they sucked you in. And to me, one of the last great promo guys, I think is, and I, it may, people don't like this, but I think it's John Cena. John Cena cuts, he will come out, get booed, and then he will cut a straight, like, just great promo, like realistic promo. And he, and it'll be a wrestling promo, but he'll cut it. And then half that crowd that was booing him will start cheering him because the stuff he said and how he said it, it touched you. You know what I mean? It hit you, and you felt that. And that's what I love to do when you talk. If I'm talking to you and I'm talking on that microphone and I'm telling you that I am beyond Global Force winner and I will be your next X Division champion, and this is why I will be your next X Division champion, I want you to be like, man, this guy is telling the truth. This guy is that deal. And so literally I go through every single day and I cut promos because I feel like it's lost. And I want to be one of those people to bring that back and be able to walk out there, pick up that microphone at the drop of a dime and cut a promo and then put that mic right back down and be like, okay, cool, who's next? You know, that's what I want to be. So I sit there and I cut that promo. It's no different from me watching matches every single day. I'm always watching wrestling, watching old school wrestling, watching Japanese wrestling, watching new stuff, just trying to pick it apart and be better. You know, it's you have to continuously study and train in order to be the next best thing. So I treat that the same way my promos.
Well, one of my favorite lines in your promos is you say, "My mom calls me son because I shine like one." Great line there, man. How have you been using that your whole career? That line, because that's a terrific line.
No, I've always been trying to find that end. How do you end? You know what I mean? What do you end with? And for the longest time, I would say, "I am the future of professional wrestling," but that's just so cliche. And then I was listening to a Wu-Tang Clan song, and he was talking about one of his clan members. He's like, "Yeah, I call my brother son because he shines like one." And then my mother would always call me her sunshine, and my sister does that with her son. She's like, "Oh, okay. This is my sunshine," but she would spell S-O-N, you know, and then S-H-I-N-E. And I was like, man, and I just put it together, and I was like, man. And one of my old promos that I cut, it was like, everyone wants to be a star in professional wrestling. I want to be the star. I am the sun. And just like the sun, everything revolves around me. You know, regular stars, they fade out here and there, but I'm always shining. And I've been shining. And it's now time for everyone to just look up in the sky and take notice of the brightest star that there is. And then I incorporated that with, I mixed the Wu-Tang thing and stuff that my mother and my sister had said, and I just put it together. And I was like, yeah, my mother calls me son because I shine like one. And it's the truth. When the sun shines the brightest all the time, you look up at night, you see some nice bright stars, and you think they're cool, but you look up in the sky every single day, and there's the sun shining bright. That's me, you know what I mean? I want people to realize that I am the sun. I am the brightest shining star in professional wrestling. It's always been shining. People don't take notice of it, but it's always been there. And sooner or later, people stop what they're doing, and they look up, and they admire the beauty of the sun. And that's how it goes.
All right, man. Awesome, man. That's, like I said, man, it's one of my favorite lines, man. And, with you, it does ring true, man, cause you're really shining right now in Impact Wrestling. And, just wanted to ask, we talked about your favorite opponent. Do you have a dream opponent? Someone that you haven't wrestled yet that you'd love to get in the ring with?
Man, I don't know. I don't really. I used to, It's so hard to say. I would love to go back and forth on the mic, I think, with, like, The Rock or something like that. But dream opponent, I don't know. I don't really have a dream opponent, I guess you could say, at the moment. There's tons of guys that I would like to be in the ring with. Any of the top echelon guys at Impact, I would love to be in the ring with. Just to, one, get that experience and feel how they work. And then, two, just to be able to go toe-to-toe with them. Like I said, being in the ring with Eddie Edwards, in my opinion, is one of the top Impact guys, and Ishimori, that's a big deal. I want more of that. I want more of that, so it'll help me grow and let me know where I stand in the ring-wise and just I also show people that I'm not just some guy that won a reality TV show. I am with Impact for a reason, and that's my biggest thing right now, is getting better, being better, and showing why I say the things I do.
Okay, man. So, I guess we can expect to see a lot of you in the next TV tapings that are coming up in Orlando. So I hope we see, I hope you get that shot at the X Division title, really, really soon. Cause I think you'd be a great X Division champion. Besides wrestling though, when you're not wrestling, what do you do for leisure? Are you, I think I was reading somewhere that you're a gamer. I'm not sure if that's true, but, what do you do when you're not wrestling? What do you do for fun?
Yeah, I actually love, to play video games or catch up on my shows or something like that. Obviously going to the gym is a daily thing. Hanging out with friends and family when I get a chance, that's always awesome. But on my downtime, I game. I've been playing Battlefront 2 at the moment. I love it. I see why people don't like the whole microtransaction thing, but to be honest, that's where video games are trying to head. It started with 2K this year. I heard VC was harder to get, and so obviously people are buying more VC, the virtual currency. Same thing with Lord of the Rings, the Shadow of War. They have the loot boxes now, and I never finished that one, but I heard that it's harder to get, easier if you're buying the loot boxes. And Battlefront was the same way. It was pay to play or pay to win, and a lot of people weren't happy with that. I know they took it down a bit, so now you earn stuff faster. I've unlocked everybody that I've wanted to unlock, so I haven't had an issue with the game. The game is just fun. It's not the greatest shooter ever, but when you squad up with your friends and you're doing like the Galactic Assault, whether you're playing the Resistance or the First Order or the Dark of the Empire or the Rebels, whatever, it's just a fun game. Like I said, I'm a Star Wars fan, so I am looking forward to God of War, the next God of War game coming out, 2018. But the main one, which I will stop, drop everything, is when Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out. That first game was, oof. Man, that was one of my favorite games. Whether it was the multiplayer or the single player, you'll catch me on my PS4 playing the hell out of that. Although I did get a Switch this year, and I'm not the biggest Nintendo guy, but I will say that Switch is awesome. The fact that I can take it with me and just play. I'm honestly thinking about taking it with me down to Orlando in January to kill some of that downtime. I don't know if I want to take it because I'm scared I might lose it, but man, I'm thinking about taking that Switch with me down there just to play some Zelda or some Super Mario to pass the time. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I do love my games. Love to watch my animes. Love to watch my shows and catch up on stuff. So, and movies, whenever I can.
Okay. Did you mentioned Star Wars? Did you see the new Star Wars movie yet? The Last Jedi.
I did see it. Yes.
What'd you think? I thought it was pretty good. Curious. What'd you think about it?
I'm in the middle. Either people loved it or they hated it. I didn't love it or hate it. I liked it, and there was more stuff that I loved about the movie that I didn't. But there is a good chunk of things in there that really upset me, and I was just like, man. I when I walked out of the theater, I walked out unfulfilled and disappointed, and I hated that because I wanted to love that movie, but I couldn't. There was just some things I was just like, man, yeah, it sucks. It is what it is. Whenever the next one comes out, who knows what they'll do. It is the most divisive, I guess you could say, Star Wars movie that's ever come out, unless Empire. I don't ever remember Empire being that divisive, but I was a kid at the time, so I don't remember. I don't think I was around when it came out, but I don't know. I'm a huge fan, so I know Cody Rhodes is a huge fan. I would pick his brain about it. I remember I met him at a show and I saw they had R2-D2 travel bag. So I was like, huh, you even watch Rebels, man? And he's like, yeah, I do. I was like, oh, okay. So we started going back and forth. And I know he liked it a lot. I haven't seen him, I don't know him like that. I just talk to him at shows, whatever, if I see him. But I'm curious to pick his brain on that and see what he has to say. Jake Something's also a big fan of Star Wars. He liked it a lot. He was, at first, he was in the same way, the same boat I was. I think he likes it a little bit more. To me, though, I was just, it was good. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. And I'm in the middle. I'm not on either side of the fence. I'm right in the middle there.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I'm right on the fence. I'm not sure whether I liked it or hated it, or loved it or hated it. I guess I'll have to see it again. A little upset I don't want to give it, just in case anybody didn't see it. I don't want to give any spoilers away. Right. Yeah,
You're probably about the same thing. You're probably about to say the same thing that I'm disappointed with. So.
yeah. We'll see how the next one goes, and I don't know, but maybe I'll have to see it again to form a to decide which side of the fence I'm going to be on. So one more question, last question, then we can wrap this up. What can we expect in 2018 from Hakeem Zayn?
Well, we've got the tapings coming up here in January, and I'll be back doing tapings in April as well. And then in between there, I'm going to be hustling, man, going to every show that I can. Got the Big Glory Pro show coming up in February. Naito is going to be there, so that's, like, huge. Naito is the man right now. And just to be honest, man, I'm going to be hitting up any promotion that I can, getting my name out there, getting my work out there, and trying to make 2018 something special for myself.
Well, I'm in the Toronto area, and you work for Super Kicked, and it's tough for me to get to a show because work kind of gets in the way, but I'm gonna try to get to a show. I know you had mentioned that you're gonna be on an upcoming Super Kicked show, so I'm gonna try to get there, and hopefully I can shake your hand, man, because I think you're going to be huge for Impact Wrestling. I think you're going to be there for a long time. I hope you're going to be there for a long time. Great addition to Impact Wrestling. It's been a privilege watching you, man, because you have such great in-ring ability. I would love, hopefully, you get to meet you one day, man. Thank you so much
for.
Hey, you got it, man. You got it, man. Like I said, I've been wanting to interview you for quite some time, and I'm glad we were able to connect. And just want to say thank you again, and I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I wish you nothing but the best of luck in the future.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate you having me on. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, my pleasure, man. My pleasure. Well, this has been the Pro Wrestling Personified Podcast. I'm your host, Lewis Carlin. And again, I want to thank my guest, Impact Wrestling's Hakeem Zayn, for being on the show. And until next time, thank you very much, everybody. Take care and stay safe, everybody. Bye-bye.